Liquid Zeolite.
Yes, we're heading into another work week. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. The name of this little old show. And let me tell you, the bad news is still no good word on the NFL. As you think of Sunday flowing into Monday and Monday Night Football, you know, we would do our nail the score tradition at the tail end of the week where we pick the game of the week, or the computer does, and you have a chance to win some fabulous prizes. Who knows if we'll have that this season or not? Who knows if we'll have the NFL? But then again, who knows if we will be in the midst of the second Great Depression, if you believe the fear-mongering out of the mouth of the Secretary of the Treasury, Tim Geithner. You would think a bomb had been dropped on the United States already, and we were all scrambling like cockroaches to get out of the way of the aftermath. So, to be sure, we're going to feel whatever ends up happening as a result of the debt ceiling, and it's the same old nonsense that we keep talking about out of Washington. I'm almost sick of talking about it. I've talked to enough people, I've tried to look at different angles, but there are no angles. It's all a pile of crap is what it is, to be honest. You have Republicans, you have Democrats, all just jockeying for position. The pictures look pretty. You'll see on one side of the table Nancy Pelosi smiling, sitting next to John Boehner, and then the president is sitting there. You have Mitch McConnell, who's in the midst of it, and Harry Reid, and it all looks like they're just having brunch on Sunday at the White House. But in the end, with Tim Geithner, the Secretary of the Treasury, screaming at the top of his lungs on any Sunday show that'll have him that the U.S. default would be catastrophic. Catastrophic, like a tsunami. Only it's not water we're worried about. It's the lack of financial resources that we're concerned about. So here's the latest, because, you know, for grins, I'll tell you about it. The president is saying he doesn't really want to let slip through his fingers the $4 trillion debt plan. What is the $4 trillion debt plan? Republicans say the deal, that deal is off the table. The Democrats are pushing the debt plan and trying to get the Republicans to agree to it. Now, the $4 trillion would be over a 10-year period, but you already have gathered that, I'm sure, because I think we've only pounded that out there probably at least 150 times. So what is $4 trillion over 10 years? But that plan would include tax increases and a few changes to Medicare and Medicaid if this were to be agreed upon. But, of course, it hasn't been agreed upon. They met for an hour on Sunday. The president is not getting off the $4 trillion. Supposedly, he wasn't really moving off of that. So, the president's going to have a news conference, 11 o'clock in the morning, talk about the status of the debt talks. You can be sure that he will use the words that came out of the mouth of Tim Geithner, and that is shared sacrifice. What is the solution? Shared sacrifice. Everyone's going to have to make a sacrifice. Now, John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, said that a smaller package of about $2 trillion to $2.4 trillion was really more realistic. Boehner told VP Joe Biden that he's not going to drop the dollar-to-dollar ratio of cuts to debt ceiling increases. So you get it. They're saying, listen, you got to slash if you want us to play this game. The president is saying he's not going to sign a deal that didn't extend the debt limit until at least 2013. And why do you think that is? Because they don't want to deal with this in an election year, especially a presidential election year, because we'd be playing the same old song continuing on into 2012. So they're going to meet again. The Democrats didn't come around to anything different. The Republicans are staying where they're staying. And there's no significant swinging of the machete, as it was described. Because remember, before it was a scalpel, Now the president has a machete. But there has been nothing significant as far as spending reductions when we're talking about these deficits. So let's hear a few of these politicians. Mitch McConnell and Jeff Sessions, both on the same side, had this to say about the debt talks.
Raising taxes in the middle of this economic situation we're in is a terrible idea. I mean, just look at the unemployment figures last Friday.
Republican leadership, I have to say, have been open about this, asking and pleading with the president. In the last few days, he seemed to open up to the possibility of a long-term debt fix, but it looks like now that that's fallen apart based on demands for higher taxes.
Yeah, see, and the problem with the higher taxes thing is they keep saying this thing about hitting the people that make $500,000 or combined $1 million or whatever the amount is. That's what it is. It's at least $500,000. But the problem is, listen, everyone is going to end up paying more. I don't buy it anyway. So I don't care how much you're making, your taxes are going to go up. That's what's going to happen. And you already have, there's already other people that are saying that word, shared sacrifice. You have Javier Becerra, who was on our show when we were in Washington, D.C. 4 or 5 months ago. He's saying there has to be shared sacrifice in any deal. So this is going to be the buzzword. Jim DeMint, Senator Jim DeMint, from South Carolina, accused the president of gaming Republicans. And he says, look, it's hard to take him serious. How do we take him seriously? So nothing, this bipartisan meeting at the White House, this grand bargain that might address everything, so far has not really happened. I mean, they're looking for the yes vote on raising the $14.3 trillion debt ceiling before August 2nd. So the Republicans are pushing the hardest for the spending cuts. And, you know, it doesn't seem as though any of the spending cuts are coming out. It doesn't seem as though they're willing to really swing the axe to do that. And then you still have the Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner, screaming in the background, catastrophic, 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 if you don't do something now. If you don't do something now, we're going to pay the price in the long run. I say they pay the money on the interest, which is what they're stuck with anyway, and try to come up with a plan to cut deeper. I don't think try. I think they need to drill deeper, and there has to be a way to do it. Listen, it's going to have to be about less government, and this is the problem in a nutshell, because the Democrats are about more government for the most part. The Republicans, of course, it's the opposite. For the most part, you're talking about smaller government. So if they're trying to protect the territory, and it is about keeping a hold of as many government positions as possible, you're never going to solve this riddle. I think what has to be done is they need to do an audit of half of the government offices, you know, half of the government programs, and get rid of the fat, because you've got triplicates. You have two and three people in some cases, from what I'm told, in some of the various departments, whether it's the IRS or whatever, that are doing the same jobs. Why that overlap? That would save money. Stay with us.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA. But Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
This week on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. I want to give you a little bit of a preview. In our next show, one of the interesting things that we're going to be doing is a conversation with Jim Leyritz. You know, the All-Star Game is coming up on Tuesday night for those of you who happen to be Major League Baseball fans or you just like to watch the great game once in a while. Jim Leyritz is a guy who I saw play in New York, who's Yankee. He's also a Texas Ranger and played on a couple of other squads, I believe. And Leyritz made big news with a huge drunk driving accident in Florida. And boy, the fates and fortunes of Jim Leyritz really turned on a dime, and he has an interesting story to tell, I think, about his world coming apart, and we're going to talk to him here on the show about that. We're going to talk to him about, you know, what it was like when everything unraveled for him, and like I said, he's a former New York Yankees catcher, and certainly he made national news when the Yankees won. In fact, I think one of the Sports Illustrated covers was a pitcher named John Wetlin. I want to say that he was hugging Leyritz, but anyway, he was in the national spotlight certainly when it comes to the 1996 World Series, because he hit the eighth inning home run that led the Yankees to their first championship in 18 years at the time. And he goes from that to the roller coaster that included a couple of different things, like I said, the auto accident that almost sent him to prison, and of course a brutal custody battle after that that led him to being the parents of three kids. So he certainly caught the heat in many, many different ways. And I'll be curious to see what Jim Leyritz has to tell us when he pops on the show. Also, we're going to take a look back at Betty Ford and all of her contributions as the first lady. She just died at the age of 93. As the first lady who had breast cancer, had a mastectomy, talked about it publicly, but the bigger piece of the pie was, of course, her addiction, alcohol addiction, and pain pill addiction that led to the Betty Ford Clinic, that led to really a lot of people recovering from the similar things that she went to, because I think Betty Ford helped to blow open the doors about talking about addiction. So celebrating what she's done and how many other facilities popped up as a result of that open conversation, because before you didn't do that. People never aired their dirty laundry, so to speak. And instead of getting help, a lot of times it was something that was buried and nobody said anything. And now, certainly, there are enough people that face the same demons that I don't believe it's a scarlet letter. Especially now that, sadly, the prescription painkiller thing has become so prevalent. I mean, so, so prevalent. All right, something that we're going to talk about now is Leon Panetta is, of course, the Secretary of Defense. He's got a lot on his plate in his trip to the Middle East, talking about Iraq and what's going to happen lately. There have been a lot of problems. Some American soldiers killed. There's still over 45,000 soldiers there. So what about pulling back the troops? Remember, the end date is supposed to be really 2011. Now there's discussions about leaving more troops there than originally thought. And Panetta saying, oh, well, we're open to that. So what does that mean? He's sorting all of that out. In other words, gathering information on his own about what's happening in that country and what Nouri al-Maliki, the prime minister, is hoping to see happen there. And also the question of Afghanistan. In fact, here's what Panetta had to say about Afghanistan.
You've been doing the job. You've been making a difference. And I thank you for that. Because in the end, this is the most important thing we can do, is to continue this fight. We're headed in the right direction. We have my commitment that we will continue to head in that right direction until we accomplish this mission. You have my commitment that we are going to stay on that track. We're going to continue to move forward. We're going to continue to try to accomplish the mission of transitioning to the Afghans so that they ultimately can take control of the defense, security, and government of their country.
All right, so reassuring the people, thanking the people, the troops that he's talking to as he continues to, you know, put his hands around the job of being the Secretary of the Defense, meaning carrying the torch of Afghanistan and the withdrawal that we're having at the end of July and then at the end of January and then leaving so many of the other guys there, which I think scares me because I think of the exposure in pulling back, however many were pulling back, saying that, you know, 30,000, well, less than 30,000 would be gone by the end of the year. What does that mean for the people that are left? And ultimately, this has been the longest war that we fought. How are we coming out of this? How does it look when we pull out of this thing? All right, something else that we're going to talk about also this week is now you have Australia also proposing a law to lift the Muslim veils, the women's veils. This has already happened in France, and it was met with some furious response about fining women who are wearing veils. In Australia, they're saying that Muslim women would have to do the same. They'd have to show their faces in public, and they would have to show their faces to police on request or risk a prison sentence under a proposed new law. It's only proposed. And in one of Australia's most populous state, we're talking about Canterbury. They're saying that they would, you know, again, what they would do, it's caused a debate, broken things wide open, because you have the cultural clashes that are certainly being, the flame is being lit by the amount of Muslim immigration and the symbols of Islam. When you look at what you have in Australia, predominantly white Christian Australia, since the 70s, when, you know, the government pretty much relaxed its grip on immigration policies. So under the law proposed by the government of New South Wales, which includes Sydney, a woman who defies police by refusing to remove her face veil would be sentenced to, they say, a year in prison, and also could be slapped with a pretty hearty fine, almost $6,000 if they refuse to do that. But the bill, it's just a bill. It has to be voted on by the state parliament in August, and we'll see ultimately where this goes. It would require that criminal suspects have to remove head coverings, all that kind of stuff. And what some of the critics are saying is exactly what we heard about in France, that it seems like it's anti-Muslim. And, you know, there aren't that many women in Australia that wear burqas. You have about 400,000, they estimate, Australians that are Muslim, and they say that fewer than 2,000 even wear face veils, and might even be a smaller percentage, so that this is very, this is incredibly insensitive. France and Belgium, too, by the way, have banned the veils in public. And the arguments, we know, are that they need to, it needs to prevent women from being forced into wearing veils by their family, or that public security requires people to be identifiable. And how can you identify them if they've got a veil on? I think that this issue is kind of spreading in Europe. Don't look for it to happen anytime soon in the United States. Of course, it has been an issue, however, in the courts. If you remember, there was a case where a judge really hit the ceiling and said you have to be able to, it was a defense attorney, you have to be able to see the woman that he's questioning. So, you know, this is something that we're seeing spreading, but like I said, I don't think we'll see that anytime soon in the good old USA. Coming up next, we're going to Oslo, Norway, to talk about the economy with our money man, Saul Albom. Stay with us.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
What's cooking at PrizeKitchen.com? Plenty! Low prices on your favorite kitchen brand appliances, Vitamix blenders, Omega juicers, reverse osmosis systems, and more. Plus, free shipping on it all. PrizeKitchen.com gives your family the tools for a healthy lifestyle by eating more fruits and veggies and drinking pure water. Go to PrizeKitchen.com. Great selection, low prices, free shipping. PrizeKitchen.com. We help make healthy lifestyles convenient.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
You've heard great things about Berkey. You've been thinking of getting a Berkey water purification system, but for some reason, you haven't made your purchase just yet. Okay, here's one more reason to buy the best water purification system you can buy now. The Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com is giving away free Pelican flashlights. Yes, with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system from the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com, you'll receive a free Pelican 2360 LED flashlight, a $39 value. But it won't last long, only now through July 15th. Hurry, call 877-886-3653, 877-886-3653, or shop online at GoBerkey.com. That's Go, B-E-R-K-E-Y.com. No coupon code necessary. A free Pelican flashlight is yours with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system only at GoBerkey.com or by calling 877-886-3653. Hurry, offer ends July 15th.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Yes, Visa burden seems to be this $14 trillion plus, and we're talking about the deficit ceiling and whether or not we're going to default, and what does that mean, and Tim Geithner saying it's the end of the world, and it's going to be like the second Great Depression. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We go out to our money man, Saul Album, who is now living in Oslo, Norway, which happens to be, as we told you last week, if you were paying attention, one of the most expensive places to live in all of the world. Hey, Saul, are you standing there with your tin cup?
Yes, for my $30 burger, yes. But the only end of the world I see is the end of the Harry Potter franchise. I mean, that's just going to be the big tragedy, is that, you know, we just can't go and take our kids or take our friends' kids to see the wand waving. But there's new beginnings, of course. You know, Kate Hudson and Victoria Beckham both gave birth over the weekend. So, you know, those are the big things that we're looking forward to, which, believe it or not, actually hit both articles hit the front pages of this small little city here. So we have death and birth, a new tragedy, and we're just going to keep going, and hopefully we'll have some more births too.
Yeah, no kidding. And Victoria Beckham had a girl, so that was a big deal because she has a gaggle of young sons. So that was a huge news. And I don't know if Kate Hudson had a girl or a boy. I didn't see that. I'm not sure.
No, I didn't get a chance either.
She had a child.
I can be perfect in finance, but it's hard to keep up with
gossip.
With Kate. Yeah, my girlfriend Kate. Yeah, it's hard to keep up with her. Okay, go ahead, Kate.
Exactly. So why? What's so expensive? Before we dive into that, what's so expensive about Oslo? Why is it so expensive?
Okay, so basically, you have a lot of tariffs and protectionism. And you have very high labor costs. You have their minimum wage is, I believe, anywhere between $40,000 to $50,000 a year. So,
wow.
Like, if you work at McDonald's, that's just your labor rate. Okay. So so that basically passes it on. So on July 4th, my wife took me to, try to do some American stuff, and she took me to McDonald's, and which it's very funny, you know, you come up here, you know, from the States, you'd hear that, it'd be like, oh no, but here it's like a very expensive thing to go to McDonald's, and I don't know, it was like $60 for two menus, for two, like number ones with extra special patty or something like that. It's very tough. So, and secondly is they have a lot of, subsidized, farming and food, and they don't allow other food to come in. So basically, in order to support their way of life, it's basically like, you know how we have in the States, you have the corn farmers that are subsidized for the ethanol. Well, basically everything over there is subsidized also, which pushes up the prices. And they can get away with it because they're not off invading other countries, and they have a lot of oil money. But things work reasonably well here, and there's about 2% unemployment. Taxes are about 20% of that's the thing, though. Here's the thing, and putting the math together, you know, United States has lower taxes now. Okay, so basically, if you make $100,000 or $50,000, you're going to be paying $10,000 more, or about $15,000 more here. Okay, the thing is that the United States, with these huge budget deficits, we are going to have to raise taxes by 20-30%. We're going to end up like Norway anyway. So, it's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time.
I agree with you. So when Tim Geithner says, oh, it's going to be like the Great Depression if we don't at least, you know, we can't default on our loans, how accurate is he on a scale of 1 to 10?
It's going to be it's going to be hell on earth if we don't invade Vietnam. It's going to be hell on earth if we don't attack, you know, this desert in the middle of Pakistan. You know, it's going to be hell on earth if we legalize marijuana. It's going to be hell on earth if, you know, if the new Harry Potter movie isn't very good. I mean, all this is just fear mongering.
Right.
And let me tell you some statistics. I mean, look at Russia. Russia defaulted a couple of years ago. About 10 years ago, within 2 or 3 years, their bonds were trading for just a little bit above our bonds. What, Greece hasn't defaulted before? Italy hasn't defaulted before? Germany hasn't defaulted before? Germany's 10-year right now is below our 10-year. There's more demand, and it's cheaper to buy the 10-year, which means it's considered safer than ours right at this moment. Okay, and what, Germany hasn't defaulted before? France hasn't defaulted? This is all fear-mongering. These guys don't know history beyond, like, the back of their napkin, okay? So the answer is, will it be disruptive? Of course it will be disruptive. Will people lose money? Well, no, you know, here's the question. Will rich people lose money? So that's what they're upset about. You know, the big banks will lose money, it's not like a big conspiracy where they're like, oh, we were in the pockets of the big bank. It's like their religion, okay? So, oh, good. You know, big banks will go under, the economy will go under, we're the key, you know, our brothers in Harvard over there, you know, we won't get their huge Christmas bonuses, to answer your question, absolutely not. There'll be disruption, but you know what, it's 6 months later, everyone will go back to, we'll go back to buying U.S. debt, and it's just that simple.
Yeah. All right. I agree with you. Excellent answer. The markets, and you and I talk about it all the time, about what should you invest in. And you've always said the same thing all along, and I agree with you 100%. You have to diversify. You don't dump one thing. You don't dump all your eggs into one basket. It just doesn't make sense, right?
Absolutely. So a good portion of your money needs to be spread out, all in different stocks, all in different bonds all over the world. The number one performing asset class over the last 40 years, I want you to guess, Kate. You just give me one guess for expediency's sake.
All right. The number one
asset class. So stocks, small cap stocks, large cap stocks, emerging markets, stuff like that.
Oh, I like emerging. I like emerging markets, but it's not that. Is it oil?
No, it's municipal bonds.
Oh, municipal bonds. I don't like municipal bonds.
Right. Of course, because they're boring and they're stable, and you don't pay taxes
on
it.
And
that's exactly right.
You don't get big returns usually. You just hold on to it, right?
That's right. That's right. So you get about 5%, and then the rich people get their tax deduction. So, for the wealthy people, you know, the number one asset class in the last 10 years, it's been treasury bonds. It's not been stocks. Okay.
Right.
So basically, if you would have listened to your aggressive financial advisor, you would have lost money being in the market. Mm-hmm. And if you would have listened to your ultra conservative, like, you know, grandpa financial advisor, you know, you would have made money. Okay. But the bottom line is it's hard to get lucky like that. So you just need to diversify, make your money at your job, you know, do your best at your job. Get your invest in your education at your job. Do better at your job, and put your money aside in diversified. The key is, as long as you're reasonably balanced, you own about some stocks, some bonds, you'll be okay. Okay, you'll be all right. So, So we should diversify. So looking forward, and we could talk about this on the next show, Kate, is kind of
sure.
Like what bonds and why. Okay.
Yeah.
But basically, it's especially for the folks that are nearing retirement, you know, you got to own these tough bonds, and you got to own some stocks too. And then what I would like to see is you got to do your own research, though, is you got to start buying into venture capital funds and into private equity funds, because that's kind of the only way you're going to be able to get the rate of return you need. Okay, so, and we can talk about that more, but basically it's the same thing. You diversify. Maybe buy some baseball cards too, and some comic books, and something that you're good at. Some collectibles would be good too. Maybe some coins. I mean,
what about gold? A little bit of gold is good.
Yeah, a little bit of gold. You know, the Harry Potter, I think this would they have a Harry Potter coin already now or something like
yeah,
that? But,
yeah.
Yeah, gold's going up too. Yeah, some gold and silver. Absolutely.
So diversify. We always talk about that. What? Just one last one here as we kick it around. I love the idea that we'll talk about those private equity funds, though, because that's huge, I think, for a lot of people who don't know much about that. The markets are always, you and I say this, it's like gambling. They're always going to be up and down, and it is, you do your own research, absolutely, all of that, but still there is no sure thing or we'd all be in it.
That's right. So, you know, it comes down to information, right? And the problem is that the little guy, there's something called one of the little guy theories. Okay, when you see a bunch of like small trades in a stock, like buying in a stock, like that means like little people are in it. That means you get out. That means they're the last ones to know, right? So if you see a lot of selling in little pieces, like 50 shares, 125 shares, you know, 230 shares or something like that, little odd lots of shares. That's when you get in. So yeah, it's very difficult for the little guy. So you know you just put it away. You buy the indexes. You diversify, and you make your money at your job, and you save your money that you have. You don't go out and live large, and you'll be fine. You'll make it through the crisis, which we didn't get a chance to talk about. The Greek, which Kate, we've been talking about. Kate, I've been
forever
tracking this. We've been talking about this for 2 years.
Yeah. You brought it up to me. I remember we've been talking about it for 2 years, and now it's just happening. Yeah. Yeah, it's
right,
crazy.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
So Greece is on fire, and, you know, the people are upset, and it's what we talked about for a very, very long time, and it's going to be about bailout once again, my friend. Hey, we're almost out of time, and I just want to say congratulations to you on the air. I'm so excited and so thrilled that you married the lovely lady that you did in Norway, and we're glad that you're still available to us here on America Tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, just imagine the most beautiful woman you've ever seen and imagine her 10 times more beautiful. And there you go.
Oh, that's so sweet. All right, we're taking the show over there. We're going to Oslo. We got to go. We're taking America Tonight over to Oslo. I promise. We're going to do that within a year. Make room. All right, thanks, Saul. Saul Album, Money Man, America Tonight. Hey, coming up on the flip side, a little bit about distracted driving. Ooh. You ever run into any of those people?
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We don't need to convince you that the threat of forced entry is on the rise and that your door locks are inadequate. Now you can virtually eliminate the threat of your door being kicked in with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel offers standalone door kick-in protection for under $67 and installs in minutes on any door. Turn your home or apartment into a fortress. Get the Door Sentinel at SentinelSecurityGroup.com or call 678-648-6757. The Door Sentinel, always on guard for you.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold-processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
I like to see you right across the floor. I like to do it in Colorado.
It's interesting, talking about political rivals and the money situation. You think on this day, if we went back in history, July 11th, 1804, what happened then? Remember when Vice President Aaron Burr took aim and fatally shot who in a duel? That would be Alexander Hamilton. Yeah. So if we did that, boy, there'd be nobody left standing on the hill right now. And who was Alexander Hamilton? Well, he's the first Secretary of the U.S. Treasury. I think you know the rest as it is history. He helped write the Constitution. He convinced states to ratify it. He wrote the Federalist Papers. Yep. And all ended all in a duel, July 11th, 1804. All right, I said I was going to talk about distracted driving and what a nightmare it's become. I happen to get a copy of the USA Today heading into the weekend, and this is stuff that we've talked about before. They just flushed out a little bit some of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration numbers, and there was an interesting thing that they did reveal. Because you've seen campaigns, there have been campaigns about using cell phones in the car and texting while you're driving and all that sort of stuff. And they pointed out that they could prove that cell phone use and texting while driving dipped tremendously in Syracuse, New York, and Hartford, Connecticut when they had
media campaigns coupled with more cops, frankly, looking for people doing that. 57% it fell, cell phones. And then texting while driving, 72% in Hartford. And absolutely the handheld use and the texting and all that fell dramatically, too, in Syracuse. Remember, that's a college area, a huge college. Syracuse, of course, the orange men. And 32%, I'd say that's pretty significant. And they say what they did was they compared cell phone use and texting and all that before they had the public awareness surveys and the officers keeping bigger tabs on that. So clearly clearly something happens when you do that. And it makes sense. If you have billboard campaigns, if there's radio ads, and they're pummeling, smashing you right and left about it, and then you see more police stopping people for that, well, that's going to spread. And maybe the error in judgment that some people just automatically don't even think and do, it makes them think twice. And I just don't understand that. The thing with the cell phone especially, I don't get it. There's so much distracted driving anyway between talking, between not looking at where you're going. I even think the GPS has become a distracted thing. Because what happens with the GPS is some people follow it so much to a T, and if we've seen this, people driving right into water, driving off of bridges and crazy things, but more importantly, being disruptive to traffic flow because they're trying to figure out where they're making the turn. And I've seen this happen way too many times. I don't get this either. Trust me, I've overshot an exit. I don't know where I'm going. And I have a pretty good sense of direction. I'm like a truck driver. I would be a good truck driver. I have a good, decent sense of direction. But if I miss where I'm going, I don't back up in the freeway and try to hit the exit, or I don't slam across four lanes quickly to get off on the exit, because guess what? I'll turn around. I'll turn around the next exit down. It's not that bad. I can do that. I don't understand why people don't do that. Why do they do that? Why do they cut across those lanes? And, you know, I guess because we're such techno nuts with the phone thing, it's second nature. It's like a part of what you do every single day, like putting on your clothes. Boom, you have the brick in your hand. You're walking around with the brick, right? Meaning the cell phone, the iPhone, the whatever it is, Android, pick your poison, and you just don't think about it. You just, boom, you're on it, you're on it, you're on it. And the phone rings, it's in the car, you pick it up. Oof, so brutal. And I say that because I just cringe when I read these stories about, oh, there was someone driving down the street and they got plowed into and the passenger was killed and it turns out the person was texting. Ugh. It's already, there is so much you have to deal with on a highway that why you're not pulling over. I mean, this isn't the lecture section of America Tonight. It's just that I find it interesting that it shows, just like with seatbelts, I guess, when you've got a whole bunch of enforcement and then a whole bunch of public service announcements, billboards, awareness type things, it does make a difference. If you pummel people with the information, somehow it gets through, because those are dramatic numbers in those two areas. 57% is a big number when you're talking about people driving around in Hartford, Connecticut with their cell phones and also texting. Texting down 72%. That's a big number. I mean, it's not like saying, oh, isn't it great? It fell off by 10 or 20%. I'd say that if I were in Hartford and they had the money to keep doing it or do it again, that would be a successful campaign, because it worked. Every single day I see people on the cell phone cutting across traffic. I see people backing up. Oh, I see crazy things living in a big city. I see crazy things that people do in cars, and I say it again and again and again. People, I just don't understand. I understand if you're in a rush, you have to get somewhere, whatever, leave early. Or if something is happening that makes a difference to you. You're a contractor, you're an entrepreneur, whatever. You're waiting for a job callback, then just pull over. There's a million places to pull over, even in the country, whether it's the country, it's the city. Trust me. I mean, how many fast food franchises are there parking lots that you could pull into for a few minutes? You know, do that. Just think twice about that instead of automatically reaching for the phone, being distracted, and then killing yourself or killing somebody else. It's not the phone call, trust me, is not worth it. It's not worth the things that have happened to people, terrible things that have happened to people as a result of this distraction. So I hope more cities do that. I hope more cities find a way to raise the level of public awareness and enforce that a little bit more. And maybe we'll see those numbers climb across the U.S. If two different areas, but big enough areas where it worked, can you imagine what it would do in some other parts of the country? I'm not for big law enforcement and for big brotherish, but I have to say, I mean, I'm not for like the whole red light thing, you know, the automatic deal where they flash your picture. I hate that. But in the case of the texting and them being on the cell phone because you're endangering other people, I think there's something to be said for that. I want to end this hour on a funny note. In Montana, and think of where we are. Okay, you're in Montana. We're talking July. They had a 100-mile ultra-marathon foot race, right, through the Flathead National Forest. You know they had to cancel it? The race director had to cancel it because they had snow. They've got lingering snow on the route that they would take. So the course, of course, is too dangerous for runners, and nobody would be able to finish. They have a requirement of the amount of time, and it's a 36-hour limit. And I know it's Montana, but snow in Montana not completely melting until for the end of July, through the end of July, is that crazy? So if you were looking for snow somewhere and you're tired of being hot, I can tell you a place where you can find it. Go to Missoula, Montana, because you can find some snow there. And they're talking about postponing the race. You know, they were thinking of postponing the race, but that would be problematic because you've got short daylight hours and they've had problems with grizzly bears. So they can't risk that either. And the funny thing is, last year, 44 people competed. Only 20 ended up finishing, but 20 finished that. Because the ultra marathon race has to be pretty tough. The area that they're going through, that Flathead National Forest, is beautiful. But there is some steep, steep terrain out there. Doesn't matter this time around, because snowshoes or not, they're not allowing anyone to even compete in it. But if you want to see some of the white stuff, we know where you can head.